Backstage Pass is made possible by Mauer Productions On Stage, supporting community theater in central New Jersey.
Hello, and welcome to Backstage Pass, Central New Jersey's community theater podcast. I'm John Mauer, and I'll be moderating this session, where we will set sail on the operatic seas of Gilbert and Sullivan with their comic opera, The Pirates of Penzance, being produced by Pinworth Productions at the Kelsey Theater in West Windsor, New Jersey. The story follows Frederick, who, at 21, is released from his apprenticeship to the band of tender-hearted pirates. He meets Mabel, the ward of Major General Stanley, and the two young people fall in love. But Frederick soon discovers that since he was born on the 29th of February, he technically only has a birthday each leap year. His apprenticeship contract states that he remains with the pirates until his 21st birthday, and so he must serve for another 63 years. Bound by his own sense of duty, Frederick's only solace is that Mabel agrees to wait for him. Pirates was the fifth Gilbert and Sullivan collaboration and is performed by opera, repertory, and community theater companies worldwide. With me here to talk about the Pinworth production are director Lou Stallsworth, musical director Lori Gouger, and Jim Petro, who plays Frederick, Elizabeth Raza, who plays Mabel, John Zimmerman, who plays the Pirate King, and John Chenkin Kay, who plays the Major General Stanley. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
How's it going, John?
So, Lou, this is Pinworth's first full-out musical production here at the Kelsey. How does it feel?
Daunting. It's a huge project. It's a far cry from Virginia Woolf, four characters, one set. Multiple sets, multiple characters. We have more people in our orchestra than we had in our earlier productions.
Than we had in our audience for the earlier production.
John, you can remove that. there's a lot more coordination. There are more moving parts. I'm very fortunate in my support team. Obviously, the costumes always come from Kate Pinner, who is the costume and set designing half of Pinworth Productions, my wife, and all those wonderful things. Then we have Lori Gouger as music director. Sometimes you're lucky and sometimes you're good. I've been good and lucky, and I am very, very fortunate to have her in the show. She dazzles me regularly.
So you're talking about the different areas within the musical. What do you find to be the hardest, which is the coordination or the collaboration? Having to share the vision or having to coordinate the vision?
Coordination. Sharing is easy. In addition to Lori, I have Janelle Byrne as choreographer. And then I have Bob Toronto doing lighting. These people are so very good at what they do. A lot of evenings, a lot of afternoons, my primary focus of the day is to stay out of their way and let them do what they do so very well. That's easier than attempting or pretending that I can add something to their talents.
I always find it hard when you go from, say, doing a play regularly to a musical where now you're taking the back seat. You have to sit there and wait while the music is being done. You have to wait while the choreography is being done. Do you ever have that little itch that you want to get in there and say, maybe they just lift their leg higher?
No. When the run-throughs start, when we go from lights up to lights down, at that point, everything will be back under my control, such as my control might be in any given day. But at that point, things that I don't like, I will address with the music director, with the choreographer, with the lighting designer, and allow them to either convince me that what they've done is better than my idea, or we find a way of making it better. Ultimately, it's for the audience. I actually enjoy the collaborative process much more than I anticipated. I don't enjoy the coordinating half so much.
Now, what drew you, outside of the name Gilbert and Sullivan, to this specific show?
I don't think I can answer that question. It just sort of evolved. Last season we did Amadeus, a big costume piece. The conversation came up. Well, you know, you could always do pirates. And the idea took root. Listen to the music. How can you not like the music? It's It's beautiful music. It's unlike anything we hear on stage today. It is unlike anything we hear on the radio today. And it's simply beautiful. When the chorus rises in harmony, when the melodies are, it's just wonderful. I'll now embarrass Jim, but when I talk about Jim Petro, he's got that tenor voice that when he's there, it's a voice that'll make you weep. It's evocative. It's moving. Liz Raza hits notes that I can barely hear, and I become jealous of people who can open their mouths and make music. My ear is pretty close to tin, and then there's Laurie, who hears everything. And I'm sitting there marveling, what a great rehearsal we've got. Gee, this is good. And Laurie stops playing the piano and says, okay, guys, we missed this. And over here, altos, you were wrong. And again, it's the strength of the team.
Well, moving from your tin ear to your musical director, what were you thinking were going to be your challenges in putting the show together?
Well, I love this show. This is my third production of Pirates of Penzance. In college, I was in the show. I was the only freshman in a mostly grad student production, and I was just in awe of their talent. And it's funny for me now to think back to all those people who I just thought were so old and amazing and experienced, and now they are much younger than I am now. So my memory of them is that they were just amazing, and I loved the show so much. And then I did an elementary school version of it.
I could almost hear the snickering of people listening to this.
It was great because there's no royalties on Gilbert and Sullivan. So I changed all kinds of things. But it still played really well with elementary school kids and to an audience of children because it's funny. It's broad physical comedy. And if you get beyond the language barrier that the language is antiquated to our ears now, the premises and the physical humor of it are still very, very funny. So they loved it.
But when in doing a show, this kind of a show today, in an area where a lot of people are doing rock musicals and things like that, this is a different style of singing than most of the community theater people who don't do operatic stuff normally have. So when going into auditions, what did you see as your challenge?
I was really optimistic that the singers to perform this show were out there. And I was hoping, and it came to be true, that we did draw a lot of singers who aren't typically involved in shows at Kelsey, a lot of singers who the rock things don't appeal to them. This is their genre. And in terms of challenges, musically, in some ways, this show is more difficult in that it does need to be a trained voice. It does need to be a voice that has the correct tone to it and that has a classical training. But in terms of the rhythm and the harmonies, it is so much simpler than a contemporary show. It's not changing meter in the middle of a song. It's not changing key. There aren't vamps. So in terms of the orchestra and in terms of teaching the harmonies, what the singer's ears are leading them to is generally correct in the show. It has very predictable harmonies, very predictable rhythms, as opposed to something that was written in the late 20th century. What your ear tells you generally is not where you actually should go when you're dealing with jazz harmonies and things that are more complicated. So that's been a joy, that it's fairly easy to teach, but the sound of these singers, it's an amazing cast, and it's a very deep cast. We're really doing our best to focus and to showcase the fact that we don't just have four strong principals and then some meek singers in the background. We have a very deep cast vocally. They're all extremely strong solo quality singers, and I think the audience will really enjoy that part of the show.
Okay, so let's, as an example of that, let's listen to one of the pieces from your show, When the Foeman Bears His Steel.
This is a piece that you will really have an opportunity to hear a lot of our very strong solo voices, but the full ensemble participates as well, and the sound is just glorious. It's amazing.
Then do not stay. Come on, then why this delay?
All right, we go. Yes, forward on the floor. Yes, forward on the floor.
Yes, but you don't go.
We go, we go.
Yes, forward on the floor. Yes, forward on the floor.
Yes, but you don't go.
We go. We go.
Okay, now that sounded wonderful. Let's talk to some of the people who are actually in that song. And Liz, you play Mabel.
Yes.
And we're going to go ladies first here among the actors. Tell us something about Mabel.
Well, she's pretty much the typical 19th century ingenue. Although in this production, she has sporadic moments of strength, which come through. And actually, in Foeman, that's one of the said moments. She's working with the sergeant of police to get the cops to go after the pirates. But she's the pretty happy. I'm so pretty, and I'm just gonna sit here and sing high notes type of soprano, which is very typical in Gilbert and Sullivan pieces.
And for those who didn't see, she was twirling her hair when she said that.
We could tell just from listening.
But tell me, what drew you to wanting to do that role?
Well, I did the show in college as well when I was a freshman. And
that seems to be the thing, as a freshman.
Yeah. To us?
Yeah.
For all of the cool freshmen.
Yeah, for the cool freshmen. So I got to play it, but it was in the part of Mabel then, but it was in a black box production. So it was it was scaled down a lot more, and there were only, I only had four sisters, and because just two on each voice part, and there were not very many pirates. There were not very many men in the music department, actually. So
that's
we had to make do. I know. But it was really fun, and now it's 10 years later, so it's nice to come back and revisit it. And my voice is very different than it was then, so it's nice to come back and try some new things.
And how's the experience been so far?
Great, actually. It's very rare that I get to perform classical music since graduating college. It's a very different world once you graduate and you're no longer singing for 12 hours a day and your voice isn't totally in shape. So. Because you have a real job, but it's nice to come back and do something that I get to use my training with, and just the opportunity to perform Gilbert and Sullivan, which is very rare in this area, and just have fun with it. It's nice.
So Mabel is the ward of Captain Stanley over here. John Shank and Kay, hello.
Hello.
And tell us, what drew you to the role?
Well, actually, The Pirates of Penzance is a story of a major general who has 9 wards and has to protect them from pirates and at the same time try and marry them off. And being used to carrying shows of this type, I relished the opportunity to be cast in such a pivotal role. It has been a pleasure working with the young neophytes who are cast in the various subordinate roles to the Major General.
And I'm so grateful to have John on board because I have not had to teach him a thing. Came in pitch perfect, every single thing, it's gold.
One, one take Shank and Kay.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's a lot
as
of...
As long as the one take is the 20th.
Hardly ever.
and we do wish someone would take that.
There are people that are having trouble breathing right now that are in this room.
I have no idea why people are laughing. It must be something Laurie said.
So now, is the Major General one of those roles you aspired to? You said, oh, someday I really want to do this?
No, it's one of those roles that you get old enough to play after you've aged out of every other role that may be better, such as a pirate king or a romantic lead, not being able to any longer dance or hit high notes. The roles that are left to a person my age are...
In the grave,
they are.
Queen
they
Victoria.
Are ghosts in Shakespeare, and grandfathers and elderly people in musicals. So I welcomed the fact to be cast at all. In fact, because
as well you should.
Lou originally wanted me just to be on stage holding things. But I was able to convince him.
We found some lumber.
When the appropriate sums were paid to Pinworth Productions to go toward the production of Pirates of Penzance, I was allowed to finally take a role, and I do appreciate it.
Now this is not your This is not your first time with Penworth. How many shows have you done with him?
This is actually the fourth role that I've done with Penworth. This is the only role. This is actually a stretch, obviously, because this is the first musical that Penworth's done. This was an experiment, and the first Gilbert and Sullivan that I had done. I have wanted to do Gilbert and Sullivan ever since I was old enough to do Frederick. I aged through Pirate King and finally have been given the opportunity to play the oldest member of the cast. And for
and
that,
you were
I really.
Around to give them some suggestions as they were writing the show.
That's right. That's right. And old Gilly and I used to suck it up at the pub. But he took very few of my suggestions, actually.
Now, you said that the show is about Captain Stanley and his daughters.
And his daughters,
it's about 2.5 hours.
And marrying and protecting them from pirates. Well, yes. It can't be too good because right now we have a pirate on either side of Mabel.
Yes. Here.
Well, an ex-pirate over there.
Well,
so let's start with the ex-pirate. That's Jim. Jim, you are Frederick. Tell us something about Frederick.
Frederick has just turned 21, and at this point his apprenticeship on the ship is over, and he's going to go and lead a normal life and not be involved with the piracy anymore. And such is his sense of duty that he wants to wipe the rest of the pirates out after he leaves the ship, because he wants none of their wrongdoing to continue on.
Okay. And not a very nice pirate, are you?
Well, I have a very strong sense of duty. I am the slave of duty.
Oh, I see.
The titular character. As many people don't know, the Pirates of Penzance is also known as the slave of duty.
So what drew you to do the show?
I've wanted to be Frederick for a long time. I've always been a fan of the music, and I love the Kevin Kline movie, and it's just a... just a great show, and it's just a lot of fun. I mean, they do so much in such a little time period. There's just so many things going on, and it's just a really enjoyable show, and it's just a lot of fun. And there is a lot of challenge to the vocals as well. Yeah, so I get to bring back the training that I've had over the years, and get mm-hmm. to use that over. And, you know, I mean, there are only probably 10 pages of dialogue in the entire 200. Page show,
and
so.
We're not off book on any of them.
I was gonna say you've got about 1.5 pages of it down.
But this is a challenge for you. It's not the singing that you've been doing.
Absolutely, it's just great stuff, and it's not like he was saying it's not like doing an Oklahoma or something that people do all the time. It's a show that isn't done as often, and it's a lot of work, and it's a great time.
And it's nice that all of the vocalists are taking the challenge seriously. I haven't had to be after people to say, go work on your music, go make sure you've got it. If something doesn't go well the very first time, because it's not really sight readable, it's challenging. They take it upon themselves to do what they need to do to make it work, and they have a really strong work ethic and a commitment to making it the best show it can be.
I see, and that's John Zimmerman, who plays the Pirate King.
Yes, yes.
So tell us something about the Pirate King.
He is a sexy beast. The Pirate King is the head of this ragtag collection of pirates, a motley crew, if there was one. And we have just lost our one capable member. We are, well, I guess I'm a capable member too, but we are a rather unique band of pirates. We never attack orphans. We never attack those who are weaker than us. We are noblemen indeed, in terms of pirates.
But poor pirates.
But not very good at piracy. We are piratical in nature, but not successful at it.
So what drew you to the role?
Well, I mean, what not? I mean, I've always been drawn to the roles like Rooster Hannigan or the Pharaoh, roles that get to come in and steal the scene and then go off and sit and read in the back for 45 minutes and then come back and steal the scene and then go and have a drink and relax and then come back and see. I love those parts. It's Conrad Birdie is another one of those types of parts. They're the Fonzie roles, I guess, as it were. And I definitely think that the Pirate King is the Fonz of this show.
Now, is this your first Gilbert and Sullivan?
It is. It is my first Gilbert and Sullivan. I've always wanted to do Gilbert and Sullivan because I always thought it would be a challenge, and it is. The music is, to me, musically, it's akin to Rodgers and Hammerstein in terms of the technique mm-hmm. needed. Lyrically, it's closer to Sondheim.
The diction is yeah. really key.
Yeah. And that's a challenge because Sondheim stuff is difficult to sing lyrically, but it's not necessarily straining on the voice. And Rodgers and Hammerstein stuff is very difficult to sing vocally, but it's not necessarily tough to remember the lyrics. I mean, they're very simple and straight. So this is a really good challenge.
As an example, Paradox is a song that really plays on the relationship between the Pirate King and Frederick, and Frederick's being torn between doing the right thing and still honoring his commitment to the pirates until his 21st birthday.
After all our lips we wished you there to hear, we said if we could tell it him, how Frederick would the joke enjoy. And so we've risked both life and limb to tell it to our boy.
That paradox,
that paradox, that most ingenious paradox, we've quips and quibbles heard in flocks, but none to beat that paradox. A paradox, a paradox, a most ingenious paradox. That's paradox.
What you can hear in that song is that the melody is not very complex. It's pretty straight, pretty even, but you have to really hold your part individually. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the lyrics are vital. They've crammed 20 minutes worth of exposition mm-hmm. into a 5-minute song. And if either of us fails to deliver, or Ruth fails to deliver exactly what's happening, then the audience is lost for the next 30 minutes of the show.
Well, and a lot of the show is like that. And I've been, I would say, perhaps pestering the cast a little bit about diction because we are working at a disadvantage. Not only is this from another country, the language is antiquated, it's going very, very quickly. And as John mentioned, there's very, very little dialogue in the show. All of the exposition and the plot happens in the context of the music. Mm-hmm. So if diction is not clear, then the audience, it sees a lot of pretty dresses and swords and pirates, but they don't know what's going on. And in the solo pieces, I'm very fortunate that all of the principals are amazing. They are all not only fabulous singers, but really strong actors, and their diction is impeccable. But when you're dealing with the ensemble numbers that many people are singing at the same time, even if you have 20 really strong singers, unless they're unified, the diction sounds sloppy and you can't understand what they're saying.
You ever thought about doing voice think we should mention that the female vocalist in Paradox is Alicia Balch.
One of the things that I would like to add in as a promise to the audience, I've owned a copy of the Doyle Carte version of this show, which we're actually using sort of like a reference recording for the cast. I've owned that for about 15 years now. It's one of the first CDs I got when I bought a CD player. And I have to tell you, I didn't get half of the jokes in this show until I joined this cast. Mm-hmm. And it is my goal as the Pirate King to make sure that the audience understands all of my jokes. And I think that everyone else is trying really hard to make that. Yeah.
And what I'd like to toss in there as just to build on that thought, it's an operetta. At least that's what it says on the cover of the book. We are not treating it with any reverence at all. We are treating it as musical comedy. And this is what our audience should expect. Bright, bawdy, witty, fast, without the operatic overtones or pacing.
But yet the quality vocals that you would expect in a Gilbert and Sullivan production.
It will be fun and incomprehensible.
So, Lou, what else does Pinworth Productions have coming up after Pirates?
We're coming back next season with just something very simple and certainly lacking in any challenge, and my music directors are already threatening to bash me. We're going to come back next January with Sunday in the Park with George by Sondheim. No laughing. It's music. It's glorious music. And it speaks to the creative process, the artist we all want to be. I'm looking forward to it already.
Well, if you're looking forward to seeing Pirates of Penzance, it'll be at the Kelsey Theater on the West Windsor campus of Mercer County Community College and will begin on January 13th and play through the 22nd. Tickets are $18 with discounts for seniors and students. Go to www.kelsey@mccc.org or call 609-570-3333 for further information and reservations. I want to thank my guests, Lou Stallsworth, Lori Gouger, John Zimmerman, Jim Petro, Elizabeth Raza, and John Shankenkay for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
For Backstage Pass, I'm John Maurer. Thanks for listening.